nothing in terms of so pleasure, and free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled and obedient in devotional service. With determination, his mind and intelligence is on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. While we are offering our prayer to the previous acharya, I came across this pranam mantra, which we sing almost every day, saying a couple of times a day probably, and Guru Maharaj gives this explanation on pranam mantra of Srila Prabhupada, which is very, very striking. And honestly speaking, I never thought about it, because we are so much mechanical, I never thought about this aspect. So Guru Maharaj was explaining that if you see pranam mantras of all the previous acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Jagannath Das Babaji, so many different pranam mantras, you see that they have been written after the acharyas. So the disciples have written those. Whereas we see, and Guru Maharaj was explaining that Prabhupada, he himself, he described these pranam mantras, and not just Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, he added this line, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschatya Dashtarine. So, Namaste Saraswati Devi, he wants himself to be associated with as a servant of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And what is the mood and mission of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? With the mercy of Guru, what Prabhupada is doing? He is propagating this Krishna consciousness. He is teaching this Krishna consciousness in Western countries. And probably Singapore government. And he is propagating this teaching where these Western countries are full of voidism and impersonalism. He is clearing that's the mood. So he always wants that, you know, disciples remember this, and he himself wants himself to remember this whole mood and mission of his Gurudev. So that was very striking, and I just remembered. So just wanted to share with you. So this particular chapter we are reading, we have been hearing about devotional service. Just like when we see any book, this particular analogy is given by the acharyas. When we see particular book, the pages inside are very soft. So the soft pages of the book are covered between the two hard covers for protection. So same way, what Krishna has done, all the main chapters, the main theme of Bhagavad Gita about devotional service, that's what he wants to explain to Arjuna. Even in these middle six chapters, first six chapters are talking about different aspects, chapter 1 to 6, Dhyana Yoga, Karma Yoga, and the later on chapters, after 12 till 18, they are talking about different aspects. But the middle six chapters, from 7 to 12, is talking about the theme, which is the devotional service. So Krishna has very nicely put this whole thing in between, sandwiched in between the Bhagavad Gita. So this particular chapter about devotional service, we have been hearing from devotees. This chapter is actually divided into three distinctive sections. And sometimes, you know, we thank Krishna for his causal mercy. One of the mercies we receive, this is the chapter, this is the only chapter which has less number of verses in the whole of Bhagavad Gita. It has over 20 verses. So Krishna has divided this into three distinctive sections. The first section is talking about bhakti versus impersonalism. And very briefly, we'll touch upon that. And the second section is about progressive stages of devotion, which we just covered, finished last week. And this Sridhar Krishna Prabhu nicely covered the end part of that whole, nicely explained this whole stages. And this last section, which starts from verse 13, is about qualities or symptoms for the one who has this Krishna Bhakti. This is starting from verse 13 all the way to the end of this chapter. So we see that in the previous chapter, where Krishna is showing this universal form to Arjuna, and Arjuna is wonderstruck, and you know, he's really amazed to see this wonderful form, universal form of the Lord. And then he's fearful at the end, and he's offering obeisance to the right from front, from back, from side, and then he's requesting Krishna to appear in his two-armed form, because this whole universal form is very, very fearful. And at the end, he understands that devotional service is the meaning in our life. So then, towards the end of the 11th chapter, he starts discussing about devotional service. And the first question which he asks in chapter 12 is because he hears from Krishna about the universal form, he wants to ascertain that this whole process of devotional service, where does he stand as a devotee versus he sees other processes which are wrong. So he wants to confirm. So the first question he asks, whether being a devotee of the Lord and doing devotional practices, the regulative principles, is the path which is perfect, or this path of going through impersonal Brahman, then approaching to that form of the Lord, impersonal form of the Lord. So Krishna, he very nicely explains that this is the devotional path is a direct path, and impersonal path is the indirect, and it's, the effects of impersonal path is slow and practices. So whereas he is describing that this whole path of devotional service is direct. Prabhupada used to always give this analogy, that if you need to climb a big building of 20 stories, there are two ways. Either you go and take the staircase, or you take the elevator. So which path an intelligent man would choose is generally an elevator. Unless somebody wants to do exercising on an everyday basis, he would start using the stairs. So Sri Prabhupada describes this devotional service is a direct path, and Krishna describes to Arjuna that this direct devotional path is basically, he is described in chapter 9, he will describe again in chapter 18, but man mana mat bhakto. So he is describing that, you know, this path has so many different steps, so they are very, very direct. So you pay obeisances to the deity, you take prasadam, you take the name of the Lord, you hear Krishna katha, and this process, just by doing these processes, Prabhupada says that we can come up to the platform of devotional service. So it's a very, very direct path, distinctive step by step. And that's what Prabhupada is explaining. And in verse 6, this is we just covered few verses earlier in this chapter, where Krishna is actually giving a certificate, a guarantee that what happens to a person who takes to this devotional path. And this is a very beautiful word. Tesha maham samudrata mrityu samsara sagara bhavami na chirapata maya vastira shetasam. So Krishna takes the responsibility for a devotee who sacrifices everything. And it is described in the word that, and specific, very specific. Sometimes we see that some of the verses and some of the devotional path, there is no specific. So sometimes we see, no, there is no direction, very, very far away. So here in the verse, Krishna is giving directly, and Prabhupada is describing, riding on Garuda, very specific, riding on Garuda. Krishna quickly delivers the devotee from the ocean of material existence. So Prabhupada is very, very specific about Krishna is delivering. And who is Krishna? He is on top of Garuda. So therefore a devotee need not endeavor for this salvation and engage in devotional service. And all other paths which are available, as we heard from Krishna himself, that they are indirect. And Prabhupada gave these two beautiful analogies, and they are mentioned in a lot of other places, that all the other paths, they are very, very indirect and slow. So one of the things, one of the analogies says that, you know, when there is a child, child always is protected in the association of his parents. The child doesn't need to worry about whether there is going to be food, there is going to be clothing, there is going to be security. But as we grow, all these anxieties come into picture. So Prabhupada is explaining that when child feels secure in company of parents, similarly, when we are in devotional service, and when we are in this path of devotional service, this is a direct path, then we need not worry. And this verse is actually kind of a personal inspiration for all of us to imbibe in our lives, and this is to increase our faith in devotional Krishna surrender, Krishna gives his guarantee. And when Krishna himself is saying, then it's a proof that, you know, he can deliver. The other analogy with Prabhupada gives, and this is actually very unique to Prabhupada, most of his purports, wherever he wants to bring some point home, or he wants to carry this point to, you know, to our minds and hearts, he gives these kind of analogies. And he describes, and this analogy was actually elaborated by Sachinandan Maharaj. Sachinandan Maharaj, as most of us know, he's a sannyasi, and he travels and describes and gives discourses on Nectarian, on Japa, on chanting, on a lot of different areas. So he was describing one time that he used to love swimming. And he was a very, very expert swimmer. He used to swim in the ocean. And so Prabhupada, you know, explains this analogy where, you know, even if there is an expert swimmer and he is in the middle of the ocean, no matter how expert a swimmer is, he cannot cross the ocean. The only thing which can save him from drowning is either a ship or a boat or some external help which can pick him from the ocean. So Sachinandan Maharaj was saying, we have read this analogy many times, but one time he was swimming in Germany. And then he was swimming, and at the middle of his path, he realized that he's too far away from the shore. And so he tried to get back. No matter how he tried, ocean was trying to take him back. And that's when he was remembering this whole analogy and this whole episode, that no matter how hard he tried. And then, you know, afterwards he came and came ashore. So he was describing this whole pastime and his relevance in his personal life. So this was section 1 where we were discussing about what direct path. So Krishna establishes there is a direct path of devotional service, and there is this indirect path. The second section is talking about progressive stages of devotion, where Krishna is saying that on pure devotional path, one can start with fixing the mind. If we cannot do that, then we should follow the rules and regulations, step-by-step process. See, that is also difficult. Now, Srila Krishna Prabhu was explaining last week, Krishna is so much merciful, he is bhakta-vatsala. He is giving us options. Not many processes give us options. Actually, including our offices, including our lives, we don't find many options. So Krishna here is much more merciful. He is giving, if you cannot do this, do this. If you cannot do this, do this. He is giving us so many options. So he is talking about, if that is difficult, then if following the rules and regulations is difficult, then you perform your karma, you do karma yoga and give up the fruits of your labor. If you cannot do that, then basically you can renounce the work, and that leads to knowledge, and how slowly it leads to meditation. So in summary, this section actually is describing about renouncing, then come to the stage of attaining knowledge, then meditation on the Supra Soul, then one will realize. So again, this is going step by step for us. Now the third step, the third section, where basically Krishna is talking about qualities that are very, very, that actually endear, that make us more dear to Krishna. So how does one know that if a person is in pure devotional service, how does one know that what all qualities he has? So that's what Krishna starts describing on this section. So he starts talking about different qualities and saying that by following these regulative principles of devotional service, one can get these different qualities. And we see how we get these qualities. Basically, we are Satchidanand. So Lord has this potency, Lord has this quality. We are part and parcel of the Lord. That's how we get all these qualities from the Lord. So he starts describing that one becomes calm, quiet, peaceful, joyful. We sometimes hear about devotional process, that this devotional process, somebody needs to be brave. But it's not brave. Some people say we need to be brave, or they go to the extent that we should follow mourn, complete silence, shouldn't be talking. But Prabhupada criticized that that kind of silence is of no use. So this process of Krishna consciousness, this process of devotional service, here is described that it is joyful. And we also hear in earlier chapters in Bhagavad Gita, we have heard in 9.2, Raj Vidya Raj Vyam. So then, Pavitra Vidya Mutama, Pratyaksha Avagaman Dharma, Su Sukham, Sartam Avagaman. So it's Su Sukham, to be joyfully performed. And I'm sure all of us, we have this kind of joy when we hear Krishna Katha, we experience this joy when we chant. And the most of the times we experience this joy when we take prasad. So this is joyfully performed. So the first thing Krishna says in this particular verse is adveshta, non-enviousness. So one should be non-envious towards all living entities. And there is this interesting lecture from Srila Prabhupada. He gave it in 1974 in Bombay. Just like if you take one drop of water from the sea water, you can understand what is the chemical composition of the whole sea. It is not very difficult. So everything what you have got, the same thing God has also got. The difference is that you are like a drop of sea water and He is a vast sea. And he quotes this particular verse in this lecture. Sarva yumeshu panteya murtaya sambhavantiya tatadhyonir aham bijaspadapita. An interesting thing which I found on this verse, Prabhupada is quoting, Krishna says, aham, I am the seed-giving father. And seed-giving father, not only for human society, but there are a lot of other societies. Animal society, and I heard these terms for the first time. Animal society, bird society, beef society, vegetable society, insect society, aquatic society. So some of the terms I didn't hear before, so they're pretty unique to open. And they are all sons of Krishna. And God's sons. This is what Prabhupada is saying. So we hear that when one develops this quality of non-enviousness, then you can see that all are sons of God. So Prabhupada is describing. And the similar words in chapter 5 also we heard. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavirastini suni chayva sopatecha pandita samadarshina. The humble sages, by virtue of free knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and a gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. So we see that this enviousness is, we should be non-envious, but this enviousness, how it's born? It's born when we identify ourselves with this the bodily conception of life. When we identify ourselves with this material body, then this whole enviousness comes into picture. Srila Prabhupada, he was able to preach this word of Krishna, he was able to preach this Krishna consciousness movement throughout the world based on this principle of Advaita. He never went to America and said, I am Indian, you are American, this person is African, he is Singaporean, no. He just he distributed this mercy of the Lord to possible non-enviousness. The next thing, the quality is described in his words, enable a bhakti yogi to fix his mind and intelligence entirely of the Supreme Lord. And we see, when we compare, and as described, that you know, unlike a materialistic person who is always anxious, fearful, envious, so all these qualities we see around us every day. The next quality which we won't be covering in detail each of them, but some important ones. The other one is nirmama, with no sense of proprietorship. We see all around us that lot of different issues, lot of different problems, they are because of sense of proprietorship. What if I have this small patch of land from the neighbor? What if he doesn't have? What if I have his car? What if I have his job? We have this sense of proprietorship. We want this, my car, my house, I want that. If I'm not satisfied with my own country, I will, you know, create a war and get another country. We want more land, more everything. So, Shastras tell us, Isha Mission, this word which describes and teaches us. Ishavashe damsarvam yatkincha jagatam jagat yenakyatina vandita madhita satyasiddhanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things which are necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota. And one should not accept other things knowing well to whom they belong. So if we have this Ishavashya principle in our life, then this whole sense of proprietorship, we can understand that what is our assigned quota and all the problems can be solved. The other quality which Krishna is describing is about Shami, about forgiving. And Prabhupada always gives this example of Jesus Christ. When he was being crucified, he never retaliated or he never had grudges against the people who were crucifying him. He was describing that, please God, forgive them because they don't know what they are doing. And we also see from pages of Shastras about Haridas Thakur. When he was being beaten in 22 marketplaces, he had no grudges against all the soldiers. At the end, in fact, after being beaten in 22 marketplaces, and nothing happened to him, and the soldiers, they were really, really worried. And they were praying, and they came to Haridas Thakur and prayed to him, and they requested, and they described their own agony. They mentioned that, oh Haridas Thakur, the Nawab, he will kill us. He will give us punishment, death sentences, if we don't kill you. So when Haridas Thakur, he was very, very compassionate. When he heard this agony, that because of him, there is suffering, he immediately agreed. He said, I will give up my body. And he sat in Samadhi and gave up his body. And that was for a temporary movement. So we see this Shami, this quality of Shami. So that's something to imbibe in our lives. And we see across, and we see within devotees, within ourselves, within other people when we relate to, we need to imbibe this quality of forgiving. One of the interesting things, this verse translation purport, everything actually is like a manual for us. Prabhupada and Krishna is giving line by line instructions. This is what you need to be. This is what your goal should be. These are the qualities you need to imbibe. So when someone like myself goes back home and thinks, what next is in Krishna consciousness? I'm chanting 16 rounds. I'm following 4 Vedic principles. I'm reading Bhagavad Gita. I have achieved almost all the qualities, everything is there. So Prabhupada is clearing us our doubts that no, these are the things you need to achieve. There are so many things, so many qualities Krishna is talking about. It's a goal for us. The next quality Krishna is describing over Sukha Dukha, equipoise in happiness and distress. This I think most of us have experienced almost on a moment to moment basis. And we were discussing this morning with some devotees about, you know, when we are in distress, the first thing which comes out of mouth is, why me? And then, you know, things are running very smoothly, we get a promotion, we get a car, we get something nice in our life. You know, we don't ask, why me? Why not the neighbor? So this is the happiness, nature of happiness and distress. And we hear from our pages of Shastra about examples of various devotees, how they have been through happiness and distress, and how they have been equipoised. And that's what Krishna is telling in this verse, and Prabhupada is telling in this verse, how to be equipoised in happiness and distress. So our calamities, and I was reflecting this afternoon on this very nice point, is that, you know, what if Lord Brahma sees from Brahmaloka towards say myself here down in our material world, and I am complaining and grudging about everything in life. His job is not good, my house is not good, car is not right, weather on top of everything, weather is not nice, everything is bad, everything is terrible, there is so much distress causing to my material body. What Lord Brahma must be thinking, this person has been here just 100 years to stay, still he is grudging. and these things for 4.3 to 3 years. So as comparatively, so this happiness and distress, the nature of this happiness and distress is relative. This is what the point we want to mention. So our calamities and happiness and distress which we are facing is like mustard seed as compared to, you know, Lord Brahma seed. So this gives us faith that, you know, we need to be people, we need to learn how to be people. So one of the interesting incidents is in life of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, his own father was giving him distress. He had to go through so much agony. He was thrown from the cliff. He was you know, made to sit in fire and boiling oil. So if we think, if we reflect upon our calamities, are we made to sit in boiling oil? Or are we made to sit with snakes? I think we are in a better position. We are requested to sit with devotees, so it's a very good position we are. So when we compare our distresses with all these great devotees which are in Bhagavatam, then we understand that our calamities are nothing. They are nothing. Recently, there is a book called Salted Bread, and in old days in Russia, I think we have discussed before that devotees, how they had to go through so much pains to set up this Krishna Consciousness Movement in places like Ukraine. They were given injections in the hand so that they should not be chanting. They were given electric shocks so that they should forget about Krishna. And when we think our calamity, we should reflect, are we made to go through all this? No. We are just, you know, we just need to endeavor to come for the program, hear Krishna Katha, chant and take the name of the Lord. And same thing, we saw this recent incident in Kazakhstan where devotees' houses, many of them were demolished, and in extreme winter they were all outside on the road with all their necessities, everything. So we have seen these, that devotees are facing so much of problems, but so much of distress is just being in Krishna consciousness. Same thing we hear from Prabhupada. But when we compare to our calamities, then we understand nothing. We also see this from the lives of Pandavas, where they had to go through, they were rulers of the world. Pandavas were rulers of the world. But still they had to go through so much of problems. And we see from pages of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam that what Krishna wanted to show, Krishna was with them. But still they had to go through so many troubles. But what Krishna wanted to show? That no matter what, my devotees will never leave my shelter. So sometimes Krishna uses devotees as an instrument. And you will hear from one more incident in our movement. We were discussing earlier this morning. So sometimes God arranges his devotees to be an instrument. And Prabhupada actually gives this amazing analogy. I think most of the devotees who are married would be able to relate with this thing. Prabhupada gives this analogy. When a mother-in-law wants to teach something to the daughter-in-law, I don't know whether it happens in Singapore, but I thought it's a universal fact. So when a mother-in-law wants to teach something to the daughter-in-law, instead of telling her directly, she uses the daughter and she gives the instruction to the daughter in such a way that daughter-in-law hears. So Prabhupada gives this analogy for us to understand that devotees are put into apparent or seeming calamities just to show or give example to others that how devotees, even within calamities, they don't leave Krishna. So this is about being equipoised. Another thing we sometimes wonder that being equipoised, and all, and especially all these qualities, especially about being equipoised, is this only for devotees or is it for everyone? Actually it is for everyone, it's not just devotees. So everyone feels this agitation of mind when they are in happiness. So when we are happy, we are very much agitated. And what is the result? Sometimes we become proud. Sometimes we ignore some of the things. But when we are in distress, same thing. We are sorrowful, we are morose, we are depressed. So this is agitation of mind which causes these happiness and distresses. And the definition of success these days, if you ask someone, are you successful? So yes. So what is the definition of success? So success, definition of success these days is the number of is a repetition of pleasurable experiences in your life, that is more, and there is a reduction in your failures, that is defined as success. You ask any modern person, are you successful? Yeah. Why? Because there are so many pleasurable experiences in your life, and the number of failures are less. So that is the definition of success. And our journey in life is always actually is a combination of happiness and distress, right from womb till the tomb. And actually, Prabhupada again gives this amazing example of this happiness and distress together in our life. There are ups and downs, there is happiness, there is distress. It's actually like eating sweet rice. Yeah, everyone loves sweet rice. Why? Because it's sweet. But imagine if you need to eat sweet rice with sand, mixed with sand. So even though sweet rice is sweet, you can't, you know, leave it because there is a taste, sweetness is there. But the sand will ensure that you won't relish it completely. So it's a mixture of both. So it's like eating sweet rice with sand. So there is enjoyment and there is distress. And Krishna, what he advises, what he recommends, how should one overcome? Matra spashtrasu kaunteya sitos na dukha dukhada agama pai no nitya samkitit shobharata. She says, O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, post-kiyana bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. This is something you need to imbibe, and this is being described, this is being recommended from the Lord. This is something you need to imbibe in our mood and in our practice of devotional service. Now, how does a devotee view this distress and difficulty? And you've seen from experiences and from past tense of Queen Kunti, and we were discussing just yesterday about Queen Kunti. So she mentions, Vipada Shantu Tat Shaswa Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yatya Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Queen Kunti prays, I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. So this is what Queen Kunti is teaching us. And we were talking about this miseries and distresses in material world. And Bhagavad Gita tells us, what is the definition of this material world? In one word, we understand it's dukhalyam or shashvatam. So the word alyam is place. And we have seen pustakalyam. Pustakalyam is the place where you put books, so that is a library. Or anathalyam, where orphans are residing. So orphanage. So that anathalyam. So similarly, we have dukhalyam. So it is a alay of dukha. So you will get miseries. And it is full of miseries. And what Bhagavad Gita tells us? Padam, padam, yat vipadam. So every step there is danger. Every step there is danger. So the focus is not to make it comfortable. What the focus is? To get out of this danger. That's our first immediate reaction. That should be ideally our first reaction. Like if you know, we are in prison, maybe probably if you are in Changi prison, you just don't go inside and say, okay, why the temperature of the aircon is not 22 degrees? Why the food is cold? Or why the television program is like this? What's the first thing that should be on our mind? Is how to get out of this prison. Or, one fine day, we wake up and we find ourselves sitting on a ship, right in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, or in the middle of a plane, and we start complaining, why the seat is not very nice, why the tea is cold, or we start asking, you know, why you are not putting like a Tamil movie or a Chinese movie, why you are putting some English movie. These are all irrelevant questions. The first thing to ask is, why am I here? Where is this plane going? And how I can get out of it and go to my original position? So all these are irrelevant. So that's something we need to focus, is when we are in this material world, this happiness and distress will keep on going and coming. We will still be eating that sweet rice with sand, but we need to focus on how to get out of the material world. And Prabhupada gives, in this earlier purport we discussed about Kunti Maharan, Srila Prabhupada gives this very nice metaphor. It describes a man may see tiger swallowing him in dreams, and he may cry for this calamity. I'm sure everyone has experienced, you know, sometimes we find that we are falling from a huge mountain or somebody is eating us, the same thing. So man may see tiger swallowing him in a dream, and he may cry for this calamity. Actually there is no tiger, actually there is no calamity. So same thing, it's simply a case of dreams. So similarly, all our calamities in life is like dreams. And that happens when we identify ourselves with this material body. So this is what Prabhupada is trying to re-emphasize that fact. And the next thing which comes in the purport and is about being equipoised when in calamities. And we were discussing this morning this particular verse from Vishnudev pastimes, where Krishna is, where Vishnudev is describing. So translation goes like this: Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in this transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the tamal tree. The body attracts everyone and the three planetary systems. May his glittering yellow dress and lotus face covered with paintings of sandalwood pearl be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruitful results. So, very interestingly, Bhishmadeva is on the battlefield, and he is, this is the verse which he is speaking after the battle is over, and he is trying to focus and fix his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is standing right in front of him, and he is describing about how the Lord looks, his beautiful features. He is trying to fix his mind on this. But we need to remember, while he is doing, he is not sitting, he is not standing, he is on the bed of arrows. Sometimes when we are pricked by a needle or a thorn, we get so much worried, and we have all kinds of anxieties in our mind, starting from the first one, whether this needle was rusted, whether I need to take antibiotics, whether I need to take antiplast, what else I need to do to avoid. So we go into so much detail, he gets distressed, and that happens with me quite often. But here we see that it's not needles, he's not, Krishna doesn't mention that Vishnudeva is on a bed of needles, he's on a bed of arrows. And arrows is piercing his body and all the way through his body. It's not just one needle, one thorn, it's like a full bed of arrows. And in this situation, he's trying to fix his mind to the Lord. And that actually, Krishna and Vishnudeva are actually giving us this direction on how we should be doing. So when we are in calamities, our focus should be fixing our mind to the Lord, and then we don't feel that misery or the distress anymore. This is what Vishnudev is teaching us in this particular pastime. How to focus on the mind, even in the calamities. Another interesting incident happened in Mahabharata when Pandavas, they were in exile, they were in the forest. So they were not in part of their palaces, they were in huts, they were staying there. And one time, Maharaj Yudhishthir was using kind of a small mattress similar to this one. And then outside of the hut, he was laying down, and his head was touching the dust on the ground. And when Draupadi came out, she immediately started talking, and she was really, really angry. And she started talking that, oh Maharaj Yudhishthir, you know, you were once a king, you had a crown with dog's wheels, and see what is the situation. You are on a mattress, there is no jewels, there is no crown. And you see Arjuna and Bhima, they are so powerful, and they can immediately vanquish this Duryodhana. But just, you know, they are trying to accept your orders, and you are not taking any action. You are not retaliating and you are accepting the situation. So Yudhishthira Maharaj explains to us that whatever situation we are in, whatever situation Krishna has given, in all these situations actually Krishna is with us. And if He wants, then we can actually come out of it. So this is what Yudhishthira Maharaj is trying to tell Draupadi. So it doesn't matter whether we are in a palace, whether we are in a hut. There is also this beautiful bhajan from Mirabai, where she is saying, you know, sometimes we have palace, sometimes we have elephant, sometimes we have horses, nowadays probably a BMW, but sometimes we have to walk, and that's quite possible. We shouldn't be lamenting on these kind of situations, because Krishna is there with us. As long as Krishna is there with us, we don't need to, there's no need to lament. So this is what Maharaj Yudhishthira is teaching us. We hear also, we also see this similar behavior of being equipoised by Maharaj Parikshit. When Sringi, son of Shamik Rishi, cursed, he took water and immediately cursed that the person, and actually amazingly, they had I think some kind of wireless technology there that time as well. So Sringi was not in Shamik Rishi's ashram when Parikshit Maharaj came. He was outside playing with his friends near the river. But still there, he came when he heard that Parikshit Maharaj went to the ashram, and in kind of thirst, apparent thirst, he placed a dead snake around the neck of Shamik Rishi. So he was really outraged by anger. And he was a very, very young Brahmana, about 16 years old, and he immediately took water and cursed Maharaj Parikshit to die in 7 days of a snake bite. So when Maharaj Parikshit, when he realized what mistake he had done, he repented a lot. And then he expected, he starts, there are a series of verses in Canto 1, Chapter 19, where he starts describing that a calamity should come to me, because I have done this kind of offense, I have made this kind of offense. But then when he hears about this curse, he doesn't retaliate saying that he is just a young Brahmana boy, anyways I was thirsty, it was not my mistake. He didn't retaliate, he accepted. And the next series of verses, what Parikshit Maharaj is saying, actually it's a very nice arrangement Lord has made. I am a king, that means I am part of this whole material world, I am involved in affairs of this world, and so many attachments are there, family, palace, worldly affairs, so I am entangled in this spider web. So what Lord has done nicely, He has actually arranged for me to leave immediately. Otherwise, I would not have done so. Otherwise, I would be entangled. This is His humility, He's describing. So this is a very nice feature of Maharaj Parikshit, where He's saying that He will keep us, whether He is living or whether when He heard that He is going to die in 7 days, He accepted the will of the Lord. And we also hear this pastime from Durvasa Muni when he was angry with Amrish Maharaj for breaking his vow, for breaking his fast before feeding to the guests. So he just chanted a mantra, created a demon to devour Amrish Maharaj. But Amrish Maharaj never retaliated. He accepted that as the will of the Lord. And talking about these distresses, actually Queen Kunti is also describing this. These distresses which come into our life are actually sometimes a blessing in disguise. And when material miseries arise, devotees appreciate that due to his past misdeeds, he deserves much more suffering, but because of Krishna's kindness, his reactions are reduced. So he remains calm, quiet and peaceful. And this is actually Lord's plan for a conditioned soul. By putting him into calamities, he gives this kind of situation. And he is Bhaktavatsala, so he just, you know, instead of cutting a hand, maybe a small finger cut. And we hear this story, and if somebody asks me the source of the story is my son. This is the story of Akbar and Birbal. And there's a great emperor, Akbar. He once, one time he actually got a cut in his finger while he was in his court. And then everyone inside the court, all of the courtiers, they started sympathizing with the cancer has gone. Oh, Arvind, you know, your finger is cut. It's very sad. Another courtier said, it's very sad to hear that, you know, unfortunately your finger is cut. Except Birbal. Birbal was smiling. And then Akbar, he got really, really angry. He said, everyone is sympathizing because my finger is cut, very glad. You are the only one who is smiling. And what's the reason behind it? He was really angry. And Birbal, he just made one statement. He said, whatever Lord does it for your good, your own good. And then Akbar, he was really furious this time, said, Birbal, you are not allowed to enter the court for next few months. You are expelled outside the court. And so Birbal said, whatever Lord does it for the good. And so he took permission and he left. It so happened that after a few weeks, Akbar went on hunting expedition with his soldiers. And they were all in the forest, and he was running behind, he was on his horse, and, you know, behind the deer. He was focused on the deer. And while he was so much focused on the deer, he forgot that all his soldiers were left behind. He was the only one. And you know the nature of the deer, you know, just stepped in somewhere behind the bushes. And suddenly, there was a group of these tribal cannibals. They suddenly came. And they started attacking Akbar. And as he was alone, he was not able to protect. So they captured him. They took him back to their place of residence. And what they used to do, they used to offer a person, animal, you know, as an offering. They used to make this offering to the goddess. The goddess Kali. And what they did was, they captured him, they bathed him nicely, they fed him nicely, and all this while, Akbar was really in distress. He was feeling, when I will come out of this situation, how unfortunate I am. And as soon as they picked up this big, huge sword to cut his head, one of these tribals, he noticed that his finger is cut. And the other, and they reported it to the, probably the head of, or the president or whatever, temple president. So, they mentioned that this person is defective. We cannot have a defecting, we cannot offer something which is defective to the goddess. And they said, okay, we have no choice, we need to find another candidate. So let's release him. And when they released him, Akbar immediately realized the statement from Birbal, whatever Lord does, he does it for your own good. And he went back and he apologized to Birbal and brought him back to the fort. So we hear, we see from this pastime, from this small incident story, that Lord sometimes gives these calamities, but the intensity of these calamities he reduces. And we don't feel it. So instead of a hand getting cut, we have just a cut in the finger. One last important point in this particular purport, Prabhupada is emphasizing the instructions of the spiritual master. So Srila Prabhupada says, he is completely perfect mystic because he speaks in the instruction received from spiritual master. So this is something you need to remember, that because the devotees are fixed in the service of the Lord and the spiritual master, the devotee is not pushed by dualities of the material world, such as heat, cold, happiness, distress, honor, dishonor. And you see this in the life of Srila Prabhupada. He faced all kinds of reversals. He had a problem with arranging funds. He had problems with actually established this League of Devotees in Jhansi, and he was practicing in an old temple. And one fine day, some big person's wife, she came and she occupied this place, and she gave it to some women's charity organization. And so Prabhupada had to leave. And he had so many hopes because he established this League of Devotees there in Jhansi. So in Lilamrita this is described that Srila Prabhupada didn't actually get moved by these reversals. He still accepted whatever Lord was pushing his way. And it's mentioned that Prabhupada, he was a pharmacist by profession. So in his pharmacy, when, you know, a devotee from the Padiyamath, they used to go, he used to give a lot of donations. And one of the things which Prabhupada always ambitioned, you know, he wanted to grow in that business. He wanted to give more and more donations, construct temples, so many things. But what was Krishna's plan? he has so many reversals in his business. He had so many problems in his business, so he had to shut down, the business was shut down. He had issues with families, so he had so many reversals. And not just that, when he went to US, before he went to US, you know, when he was distributing this Factory Garden magazine, he was doing it alone in summers. He was walking on the streets of Delhi, and he was, without any help, he was distributing one to one, person to person. So many reversals, so many hardships. When he went to US, he had to go through a cargo ship and he faced two heart attacks. When he went there, what he finds? Everyone is a victim. But he didn't, he actually had this faith on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is with him, and also he mentions specifically that instructions of my Guru Maharaj was with him. So his typewriter was stolen, he had to stay in a bowery, he was attacked by someone, but he never took these reversals to heart. He still, you know, went on with the mood and mission of his spiritual master. And then we see, and he never felt morose. And that's what he narrates in Sri Ramakrishna. He also mentions about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that he, so this whole Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya and this whole Krishna consciousness movement, it was not established something out of the blue. They all went through so much austerities, so much reversals, and then finally they established this movement. So Srila Prabhupada narrates that how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did many austerities. He actually chanted thousands of mantras, and also following the instructions of Gurudev, he was able to establish many Gaudiya Mats, and he was like a lying Guru. But inside he had like so many death threats, so many reversals, but still he went on. And we were already discussing, in our movement we see this being equipoised and being in the service of Guru and Gauranga. We hear from this incident of Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, we were discussing this morning, that how His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, he was, he had this cancer, and doctors told him that one of his legs needs to be amputated. But he was not morose, he was not depressed. He was actually smiling, and he said his mood was, if Srila Prabhupada and Krishna want to use me as an example of a person who can overcome cancer and still smile, that's great, perfect. If they want that I die quickly and they take me to next place of service, it's perfectly fine with me. So this is the mood we learn from Acharya and different sannyasis within our movement. So he's telling us that we need to be equipoised in every situation of life. And another thing he mentioned, this is a very nice statement. He says his mood was so strong that he was laughing, and then he said, we read in the books that body is temporary and we are not his body, we are the soul. And here it is, Krishna wants me to serve anyways, whether I am here or whether I am not here. So I am ready and I will do it. This is what Bhakti Tirth Maharaj mentioned. And we also see this from this pastime of Ramanujacharya. Sripad Ramanujacharya, he took sannyas, there were two of his disciples. One was Puresh, and we know the glory of Puresh, and there are so many pastimes and so many prayers from Puresh. The other disciple was Dasharathi. And Guru Maharaj explained this whole amazing pastime of Dasharathi. Dasharathi actually was a cousin of Sripad Ramanujacharya. And he was born in a very, very aristocratic Brahman family. And he was very well versed with scriptures even before meeting Ramanujacharya. And later on when he met Ramanujacharya, he became a disciple and he was serving Ramanujacharya. One time he asked a question to Sripad Ramanujacharya. He asked, Gurudev, can you explain me the meaning of this verse in Bhagavad Gita? Sarva dharman paritajye maam ekam charnam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami maam sucha. So Ramanujacharya told him that because there is too much familiarity between our relationship, What I would suggest is in a neighboring village, there is a senior Vaishnava. So you go there and humbly serve him, and you know, once he is pleased with your service, he will reveal you what is the essence of this particular verse. So Dasharatha, he said, perfectly fine, as you say. So he goes to this neighboring village, he starts serving very nicely this senior Vaishnava. And after the senior Vaishnava is pleased, he asks this question. He says, Maharaj, can you explain me this essence of this particular verse? And this Vaishnava, he says, that you are disciple of Sripad Ramanujacharya, who is great, great scholar, and is a very, very realized Vaishnava. So I think you should go back to Srirangam and try to ask in that sense. And Dasharatha says, okay, and he accepts that message and goes back to Srirangam. And then he asks, and he's about to, you know, speak to Guru Maharaj. He's there, and he's humbly serving, and he's waiting for Guru Maharaj to give that essence. And just then, what happens is one lady comes. She's a Brahmin lady. She comes and visits Ramanujacharya. And she goes down to the feet of Ramanujacharya, and she starts weeping. And she's actually narrating that she's going through so much distress in her life. And she goes on to explain that she's staying in a neighboring village, not far away from Srirangam. And her in-laws are troubling her a lot. She has to do so many things, so much work at home. And then, apart from all of these activities like cooking, washing, cleaning, everything is there. But apart from that, she actually needs to go to a well, which is a little bit far, and she needs to carry all the water for all the cooking, cleaning, bathing, everything. So she needs to walk every time, many times a day to get that water. And then she says, I'm so much distressed, I'm so much in trouble, I don't know what to do. So Srimad Ramanujacharya, he looks at her and says, what you need is actually a servant. And guess what? You have just one, right one here. And he says, Dasharatha, can you please accompany her and, you know, serve the family nicely? And he goes and he accepts. He doesn't say that I am a Pandit, I am Vedic scholar, how come Guru Maharaj told me to do this? He humbly accepts that position, he goes to the village and he starts serving his family nicely. And what Dasharatha is doing? The Vedic scholar. He is carrying the water, he is cooking for them, he is cleaning for them, and he is humbly serving his family. One day, what happens in that village, there is a great Digvijay Pandit, he comes. What he has been doing? He has been going to different villages and establishing that Krishna is not a person. He comes to that particular village, and it so happened that, I don't know the exact day, but probably it was a Sunday. So Dasharatha had a weekly off. So he requests, seeks permission from his master, and he goes to attend the discourses from the Digvijay Pandit. He goes there, sits there, and hears all the lectures. And at the end of the lecture, Digvijay Pandit, he actually asks, is there any questions, is there any doubts? I'm sure there are no doubts. That's what he mentions. And Dasharatha says, beg your pardon, Maharaj, if I have something, if I can ask something, and if I can add on to something, some comment on your discourses. And within about few minutes, he completely establishes the fact that Krishna is a person, quoting all kinds of shastras, everything. And this person, he is astonished. He is saying, who is this person? How can he so nicely and so easily explain that Krishna is a person? And he says, if I am not wrong, you are that servant who is serving in that family. How come you know? And everyone else is wondering in the village, who is this person being a servant? How does he know so many things about Veda? And some persons, they are from, they have been in Srirangam, they come to know and they realize, oh, this is Dasharatha, the great scholar, the Vedic scholar, the Pandit, disciple of Ramanujacharya, and they are really astonished to see what he is doing. He is just being in your services on the order of his Guru Maharaj. So they all go to Ramanujacharya. To conclude, they basically go to Ramanujacharya and explain him that he is doing this menial service, so you should actually bring him to do all these other discourses, preaching, he can do his higher service. But when they're speaking, Ramanujacharya, in his heart of his heart, he's so much overwhelmed and he's so much happy to hear that his disciple, on his orders, is carrying out his orders so nicely among these. So he goes to that village and brings Dasharathi along with him. And on the way, he mentions that, Dasharathi, now you are ready to understand what does it mean to surrender. And that's what this verse, essence of the verse is, Sarva Dharman Paritaje Maham Ekam Sharanam Vraja. So what does it mean to surrender? Then he explains in details. He says, now you are ready to understand what is surrender. So we hear that when one goes through the instructions of the spiritual master and one accepts, then one can progress in spiritual life. And through the keepers, he understands how to be keepers in this whirlpool of material existence. So to conclude, there are different qualities which are described, and sometimes we see these qualities in many, many devotees or many, many persons. And what we do, we try to actually, learn. But sometimes, that's actually one of the big disqualifications that I personally might have. So it's imitating. We try to do this imitation. So instead of learning, we try to imitate. So Shastra describes these two terms, Anusharan versus Anukaran. There's a big difference. They look similar, Anusharan, Anukaran. So Anukaran means imitation. So what we need to do is Anusharan, following the footsteps for learning. And these scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, are actually teaching us how to imbibe this mood, how to develop these different qualities in our lives as devotees. His Holiness Kadam Kanan Maharaj gave this very nice example. You know, why we should be reading Bhagavad Gita, why we should be reading Bhagavatam, especially when we learn about these qualities. Now the reason why we are describing about these qualities, sometimes we think this quality of non-enviousness, quality of being happy and distress, we see in so many of these management books, and what they say, some of them are very, very nice. They say when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you say, I am going to be happy today. And you keep repeating 3-4 times, then you will be happy. And I guess from all of our experience, we might have seen that that seldomly works. Even if you repeat like 10 times, that I am going to be happy. Because we see more of material nature than that, and we forget about our happiness. We buy a new Mercedes car, and the neighbor's child comes with a baseball, and put that baseball on our Mercedes or BMW, all our happiness is crashed to pieces in 1 second. Even if we have repeated, I am going to be happy 10 times. So these scriptures are actually teaching us how to actually develop these qualities, and not, there are different paths to develop these qualities. There are so many courses people do, there are so many management books. But what Kadam Kanan Maharaj is saying, reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and CC is like eating rice, dal and sabji. And reading all other management books, all these kind of artificial mechanisms to develop these qualities are like chutney. So we cannot eat chutney every day. What we need to do, for our nourishment, we need to eat rice, dal and sabji. So that's why we need to be reading all these Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and CC to develop and to get this nourishment in our spiritual lives. I will conclude with this this very nice prayer from Srila Madhavendra Puri, where how to develop one's faith and how to make it very, very strong, how to develop a strong faith without worrying about not many other things. Sometimes we get too much worried about what's happening in our environment, in our neighborhood. So very, very nice prayer. Muktam amigatanto nikipuna brantam vedika mandam bandava sanchaya jadadiram muktadara shodara unmattam danino viveka chatura kamam madambikam moktum nakshamate manalpati mano Govinda Pada Sriram. Let The sharp moralists accuse me of being illusioned. I don't mind. Experts in various activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. I think we have heard this, right? My brother may call me a fool. I'm sure we have heard this. The wealthy Mammonites may point me out as mad. And the learned philosophers may assert that I am too much proud. Still, my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the feet of Govinda, though I am unable to do it. This is a very nice prayer in our lives. So you would end. So if there are any feedback and comments, they are welcome. If there are questions, there are so many senior devotees. Let us come. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being in the class. You brought up so many nice stories to make us understand these qualities. And as I was reading, something also struck me on what you said. And in the last few lines of the purport, Prabhupada gives us actually a very nice glimpse of how these qualifications have a direct impact on us. And actually they are spelled out in the class that we are given. And I thought it's very nice because it made me think about it more. He says here, all these qualifications, which are the qualifications that you have referred to and stated in this verse, all these qualifications enable him, meaning the devotee, to fix his mind and intelligence entirely on the Supreme Lord. This statement is so nice because very often our immediate thinking is that we should actually use our mind and intelligence to develop such qualifications. But here Prabhupada makes it very clear that the qualifications that we are developing are not actually the products of mind and intelligence. They are actually the products of heart. Until we genuinely take up this process, then the artificial cultivation of the qualities will actually, it cannot actually take root in the heart. So Prabhupada writes very nicely that if you want to develop these qualifications, then please know the qualifications are so strong in themselves that this mind, which is always the source of most difficult in controlling, will become intrinsically controlled if the qualifications are there. And Prabhupada writes after that that these qualifications may be rare, because it's a standard of devotional service which is undoubtedly very rare. But he makes a very nice statement here, because he says, but a devotee becomes situated in that stage by following the regulative principles of devotional service. And this is also very nice, because sometimes we think that these qualifications will manifest maybe in someone who is spontaneously devoted to Krishna. But Prabhupada makes it very clear here that if we very strictly perform our sadhana bhakti, if we follow it, then the road, the end of that road, so to speak, is the automatic development of these qualifications. And when the qualifications are there, naturally, then the mind, which is rascal number one, and intelligence, which is though next door neighbor to the soul, can still be misused. They become automatically directed very nicely towards devotion service. So particularly for devotees, we should never think, there will come a time when we have to be spontaneous in our devotional service. What Prabhupada has given is complete, because he says this sadhana bhakti is more than enough. Because every day this is a great struggle for us, just to wake up, just to be regulated is difficult. So Krishna says here, if we can just follow the regulated principles of devotional service, then he ends very nicely by saying furthermore, he says that the Lord says that such a devotee is very dear to me. That means the devotee who is trying to be following sadhana bhakti, he becomes dear to Krishna. For the Lord is always pleased with all his activities in full Krishna consciousness. So this is a very encouraging end to a wonderful verse, because it puts everything in perspective. Otherwise we always think how to get these qualifications. And the other thing that I really liked on your point, Prabhu, was the point that to see the hand of Krishna. You said that Ram had told you the story of Akbar and Birbal, right? I also remember one point also where Prabhupada had also spoken of this story. But at that time, I didn't know that he was referring to Akbar and Birbal. And the variation was, I remember that he put the minister, after the minister said this point, he had the minister put in jail. So when the minister, when he realized at the end, you know, that his finger was cut and that he was saved, then he could realize the wisdom of what the minister said. So he embraced the minister and released him from prison. And minister said, see, my king, you know, the Lord is really always, you know, doing everything for our good. Then the king said, he saved me, but what good did he do for you in the prison? And the minister said, if I was not in the prison, then I would have always been your constant companion. You and I would have been hunting, and ultimately, both of us would have been caught. You would have been saved, but unfortunately, I would have been wrongly. So, being in jail was also very good. You know? So, that way, it's very nice. I remember one devotee also, he had to go to jail because of very unforeseen circumstances. And in great distress, he called my Guru Maharaj and said that, now my life is coming to an end, you know, and I'm going to go to jail. And Maharaj said, that's very good, because Krishna was born in jail. So, you know, you are really following Krishna, right? You think go to jail, chant nicely, and be born again, and come back, you know. So, thank you, Prabhuji, for very inspiring class. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for a wonderful class. Thank you, Devi Prabhu, too, for adding the gist of the matter. Just wanted to ask one thing. As you said, we should accept the will of the Lord by giving wonderful examples like Amrish Maharaj and Parikshit Maharaj. And we should accept whatever ups and downs come in our life as the choice of Krishna. Wondering, like, apart from this, often we face distressful situations because of scenarios that we have done injustice. In today's scenario, how, there's a very thin line between the injustice done to us and distress. How does one fight that injustice? Because again, Krishna says that accepting injustice is as good as doing injustice. So should we accept the injustice done to us just as saying that it is a will of Krishna, or should we reciprocate by taking actions or something like that, or how should we go about it? We cannot just take distress as a result of the injustice done to us. How would you put that?
For my limited understanding, injustice is the definition of injustice. As we were talking about this definition of calamity with ourselves versus Lord Brahma. So it's as like seed of mustard. So injustice, from our perspective, thinking that there's an injustice done to us, but we forget it's law of karma, which Srimad Prabhupada is telling us. That we never know in our previous lives what we have done. We might have done that same injustice. What goes back, comes back. We, from our limited understanding, we might not understand the full picture what's happening. But Krishna, sitting on top, he knows, and he is the one who is orchestrating who gets what, when he gets everything. So this is from my limited understanding. So we should accept without being retaliated. So whatever happens in our life, something which actually one devotee personally told me, happens, actually there are only two people responsible. Ourselves, Krishna. Only two people. There is no other person who is responsible for anything in our life. So this is what we should invite in our life to understand. That this is happening because either it's our mistake or Krishna is intervening and arranging the situation so that we can develop our faith a bit more. Yeah. So, anybody wants to add?
The answer is in the purport, Guruji. In that verse, actually, Brahmaji prays to Krishna And that is the standard that the devotee should accept.
That the devotee accepts that, you know, whatever happens to him, injustices, calamities, they are actually the reactions of his past misdeeds. So the problem is we have little time. Now the more we dwell on the injustice, the more time is taken away from Krishna. Most of the time when we remember injustice, we forget Krishna. If we remember injustice and we remember Krishna, then it's favorable. But 90% of the time the question is, as Prabhupada said, why me? But the question should be, why not you? Or why not me? So that way, we should also understand this other point. Supposing now we appear to be devotees. We may have stopped the law of karma for some reason. If you off the fan now, fan still runs through, but there is no connection now between the switch and the fan. That running in the life of Brahma may be very long. In our life, it may be another 10 years. But that running for the fan is maybe a few minutes. So as Prabhuji said, injustice appears to be relative. But it is very fortunate that we don't know all the atrocities we have done before. Some people ask, you know, I should be able to know what I've done before. Then I'll be constructive. But the truth is, if only we knew what we have done before, we would be destroyed by now. I think we'll all go mental, you know. So that is also Krishna's mercy, that we don't know exactly what we have done. But we should accept the fact that whatever that is happening to us is absolutely fair. There is nothing in the Lord's plan that is unfair. That word doesn't exist in his vocabulary. You know? And the other thing that is nice that Prabhuji mentioned is 1.1848 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj sets for us the standard of Vaishnava behavior when faced with injustice. He says, Tils Kritta Vitta Labda Shapta Shitta Rata Hapi Nastyata Kurvanti. Right? He says that those devotees who are ready devotees, they have one characteristic, that despite the fact that they may be defamed, despite the fact that they may be neglected, they may be cheated, they may be ignored, and sometimes they are even killed. But the wonderful thing about the devotees is, their reaction to such injustice is no reaction, no counter-reaction. So that's why best counteraction to all injustices is no counteraction. Because the counteraction takes us away from Krishna, and that is wasting our time. Instead, remember what Bhishmadev has done, and you are studying the prayers now, that he utilized the difficulties to remember Krishna. That way injustices become our friend. They become our friend. We don't see them as enemies, you see. So this is the point that Prabhupada also brought. He mentioned Kunti Mata's prayer, Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru, that we want, you know, we don't mind. Of course, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj reminded us in his lecture in Singapore that be careful if you were to say that prayer of Kunti Mata. I remember very much he said that, because we may not be in the position, but as it is in our life, only you know how much you are suffering, and each one of us knows how much we are suffering. And each one of us, unfortunately or fortunately, thinks our suffering is more than others. And it becomes quite fashionable for us to always think, you think you are suffering, Guru, the only you know my suffering, you know. You don't know why I've gone through life, you know, it's just too much. But that is taking us away from Krishna. So, better, I think, as Prabhuji said, to just accept it as our karma, because we are not pure devotees, so we have plenty of karma to finish. Let's continue with devotional service. Krishna wants, we'll finish. Krishna doesn't want, to continue.
You know, having said that,
yes.
Tell him that, I think my sound a little bit harsh, but the opposite person who is inflicting that injustice on you, he may get encouraged to put more and more. Yes, definitely, that is a positive point.
Yes.
Remember Krishna more and more.
That's true. But so then he becomes very nice to you, isn't it, Rosie? He's your best friend. If the more inflicts injustice, and the more you accept it that really this I deserve, then the more you become fixed in Krishna consciousness. It is our ego that stops us from accepting it. The base of it is our ego. And it is false, you see. We are on the false presumption that I don't deserve this injustice. So how can you give me this injustice? And the reason why I don't deserve it is because actually I am devotee. So when that happens, the false ego becomes naked, you know. It is in front of us. But because we can't see it, we don't realize that it is the source of our suffering. Anyway, whether or not you Prabhu and I discussed this, Prabhu, the injustices are going to come. They are going to come, you know. So, it's a question of whether you want to accept what Vedanath is going to give you, or you don't want to accept and suffer anyway. So, what choice do we have? You know, Krishna doesn't give us choice, you know, in that sense. It appears like we have a choice. The best choice is to be devoted to Krishna.
But Prabhuji, I think I know one doubt comes over here that when you do and when not to do, when not to do any action or any injustice. Okay, as you said that that's pretty fine, that okay, no reaction, I accept it. Arjuna might have also accepted like that. When they were deserving to be the Yuvraja, but they were not being given anything. He might have accepted. But then why Krishna had encouraged him to fight for the justice, for fight for something which you deserve to have? And my question is that how we should know in Kali Yuga? Okay, in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna himself was there to tell. In Kali Yuga, how we should know? Whether we should or whether we should not.
The question of the answer is we study Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita. Because there Krishna is speaking. But the point you said is very nice, Guruji. Because Arjuna did not know whether or not he stated to Krishna that he wanted to fight. He didn't want to fight. But when he heard that Krishna wanted him to fight, then he decided that Krishna's interest would override his. So for us, the golden rule should be, whenever we think that we have a situation, whether we should react, we should not react, we should check with three parties. We should consult sadhus, we should consult sastras, and we should consult guru. And you'll find that if these three authorities are consulted very nicely, they will give you the practical way to come out of the difficulty. It is not that, as Prabhupada said, a cobra doesn't have to bite, but it doesn't mean we cannot hiss, you know. Sometimes we have to hiss also. So according to time, place and circumstances, Krishna decided Arjuna had to become a weapon of force for an overall justice. Parikshit Maharaj decided he would not counteract because it was personal to him. So when a devotee sees other devotees becoming offended, then he should not keep still. Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada make it very clear. Either he should walk away, he should refute, or he should stand up and say this is not the way to do it. So for others, we are always prepared to try and be instruments to stop the apparent injustices. Very sincerely. But if it happens to us, then we should consult with these three. These three pillars will always save us. We consult with the Vaishnavas, we consult with Guru, and we consult with Shastra. When all these three are in harmony, the action becomes perfect. So this is the standard given by us, by the Vaishnavas.
So what we can understand out of this is not if it's concerned to your personal honor requirement.
Yes.
You can stop it and take it. It's up to you ultimately.
Yes.
But if something like it's designed like against your paternity, your as you say that your other devotee, your nature or something,
yes,
then you must consult at least.
Yes, at least consult.
Concern.
Yes.
And then you should.
Otherwise the action becomes whimsical.
Right.
It is dictated by mind, yes, and apparent intelligence. So then we do what we want. But if we are with sadhu, sastras and guru, then we become safe. Our movements become regulated, as Prabhupada writes at the end.
Thank you very much for this sharing. Okay, we'll end on so we'll end if there are no questions. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki Jai, Prabhupada ki
Jai, Jai Gopinath Acharya Prabhu ki Jai. Thank you.
के बात रहना स्वामी इसी नाम में Thank you. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Mataji. eve of the most auspicious time of the year that is coming forth. In Singapore, we'll start observing Damodar month from tomorrow all the way up to 4th of November. It is not an accident but Krishna's arrangement that we have with us today, His Grace Gaurachandra Prabhu ki. Can we have three now Hari Bols before we even look at prasadam for Him? Gaurachandra Prabhu is very, very dear to us. He spent the good part of his life in the association and giving association of devotees to devotees in Singapore. And then now, you know, Singapore's loss is Kuala Lumpur's gain. So now Prabhu is there, and I feel, you know, that sometimes it would be nice if he spent a bit longer time here. Tomorrow morning and leaving, because you see my point is just, you know, taking off like that. But Gaurachandra Prabhu is here. It's very good because last year's success in observing Damodar month as the festival of light, making an effort to meet more new persons and introducing them to Lord Damodar and thereby getting them to be interested in Krishna consciousness, that initiative all came from Uttama Chaitanya Prabhu, Vishnu Chaitanya Prabhu, and the team of dedicated devotees in Kuala Lumpur, which includes His Grace Gaurachandra Prabhu. And in fact, it's Gaurachandra Prabhu's hard work together with Ashwin Prabhu that today we are having some tools, weapons, you know, for devotional service that will also make us become more competent to try and have as many Damodar programs as possible. Can I have a sample of it? Okay, this is the first time I'm seeing it myself for this year also. See, this looks very wonderful because Krishna and Yashoda Mata is there. We have calendar for 2010. It's all here. That's another incentive. Now, if you open it, just see, this is using the mind and intelligence and Krishna consciousness. So easy, so effective. All we have to do, Prabhus and Matris, is this. You've all got the emails. You've got the attachments, Damodar Ashtakam. You've got the attachment, the nice write-up, a short write-up on Damodar Leela that you can use for preaching. Krishna book, you know the chapter. All we are inviting devotees to do now is this. Take these cutouts, right? Don't keep them at home and go to sleep. Take them and start counting. How many friends do I have? I have 5 friends. Very good. I'll go to one friend and tell him that, look, this month is very auspicious. You light a lamp for Krishna and your job becomes very good. I'm joking, yeah? But it doesn't matter even if you tell him that, you know, because any which way you enter, the house is also good. Right? As long as it's through the door, it's okay. Now the important thing is this. If you tell them this is the most auspicious time of the month, of the year, and if you come, if you want, we can come over. We can offer a nice lamp to Krishna. We have a wonderful pastime of Krishna with Mother Yashoda. And if you do this and you invite more people, you find one that you are in a festive mood. More importantly, two, you will become very peaceful remembering this wonderful pastimes of Krishna. Then what hopefully will happen, Krishna willing, is that this friend will think, alright, so what I'll do is this. How difficult is the program? You tell them it's very simple. You just arrange a time and a place and get 2-3 other friends of yours whom you know. Not the other 5 friends that you know. Huh? They all can be separate. But you tell him to bring 2-3 other friends. And you tell him don't worry about prasadam, because he may get worried that you have a 200 strong congregation and you're going to bring 50 people to his house and then they panic also. Just tell them 2 of us are coming or 1 of us are coming. We will bring some light prasad. You can bring cookies, you can bring sweets. If you are a good expert at making prasadam, I give it to you. Matajis will be more confident in the department than the Prabhus, of course. But we are not going to tax the Matajis and put them on roster for this month, because then it will be too much. But what we will do is, prasadam is not a concern. Something to give out as prasad is important. Just bring a few lamps. It can be very simple lamps. You can get them from Jyoti and all over Serangoon Road. Not a problem. And if you can't, a candle is also fine. Then what you do, you just need to sit with them. You need to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Even if the Damodar Ashtakam is difficult, I remember Vishnu Chaitanya Prabhu told us, just chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Let them know what the Maha Mantra is about. Speak a little bit on this wonderful pastime, the significance of the pastime, who Krishna is. See, Gaurachandra Prabhu, that's why he's here. We have a beautiful book, the Damodar Program. which has been developed by the Congregational Development Ministry, is called KL. Okay, I think we have about 50 of this, Prabhu. 100 of this, excellent. We have 100 of these now available with us. 50, Prabhu, is this, huh? We have 10, huh?
Prabhu.
Okay, we have a discrepancy here, but we'll solve it in a while, you know. Okay, so anyway, we have these. We have these. We'll get more. We'll get more. We're just going to warm up this week, right? So this will be a very useful write-up to be used, both for you and for them. Then you bring this with you on that day, right? And whatever altar they have, doesn't matter. Don't disrupt them. You just tell them, ask them for permission. Can I place this just somewhere in the center? You put them there, because everyone's here actually, so it's all perfect. And then you start the program. Do a bit of kirtan. People want to know why you are doing this, so let them know. People want to know the benefits of this, let them know. And then tell them about prasadam and do kirtan. You don't need 2-3 madanga players, 5-10 kastals, you don't need wampas, definitely you don't need. All you need to do is sing. And you don't even have to be a sweet singer, you can be a bathroom singer. Still, Dabodhan accepts it. Don't worry about that. The important thing is you are trying. Remember Xavier Prabhu last year? Xavier Prabhu did 17 programs on his own, nobody, one man army. He went to Muslim houses, he went to Christian houses, it didn't matter to him. And it didn't matter to them also. So, it doesn't matter. I remember Premamanjari Mataji organized about 10 to 12 programs before she left for Karthik. And she did that all in the space of a few days. So like that, be inspired. Each one of us can become a preaching tool for Krishna. And once you have fixed up your programs, let the organizers know. This year they are Madan Mohan Prabhu, Shyam Prabhu, Gopalak Prabhu and Shaktidhar Prabhu, Pratana Mataji on that side and Ananda Manjari Mataji. Let them know that these are the programs. So you will have these. We have about 100 of these at the moment. You can keep them. Now supposing you have finished the program, answer a few questions, invite them for our programs, let them know what we are doing and make them feel happy in Krishna consciousness. That's all. And tell them this is a festival of light. Now daily after we go, you please chant and you light the lamp for Krishna and you please remember this wonderful pastime and you become peaceful. If they say, can I keep this? Please ask them to keep it. If they say, I don't want to keep this, you take it back. But if they are not decided or not, tell them, you can keep it. Please keep them. We also ordered some wonderful murtis. You all have seen the last murtis that we normally have of Yashoda Mata and Krishna. The same replica has been very nicely done by ISKCON KL. Now they are a bit smaller. They are two kinds, right? It's the gold and the colorful one. I think the ones we ordered was the colorful one. So we ordered 50, right? Ashwin Prabhu's advice to me, businessman advice, was set the ground first. And if the ground is good, then we go ahead and order more. Now if we have these murtis and we bring them also, and if they like the murtis, then they will become so excited, so attracted. Some people literally become devotees just by seeing murtis. This is the power of darshan of the Lord. So can we all pray that this one, can we make a pledge to Krishna in his most wonderful form of Lord Pramodar, that if you really want to have a happy Diwali, not the way the rest of Singapore thinks, but the way as it should be, the way Sastras have told us, can we all try and stretch ourselves a little bit more this month and try each one of us to make a target and offer it to Lord Damodar as a humble offering. Remember Prabhu's Matajis, whatever you do for this wonderful period becomes amplified many, many, many times over. Right? So that itself should be enough incentive for you. But for me personally, the greatest incentive is just like how you have become happy in Krishna consciousness, if you can become an instrument for Srila Prabhupada's mission to share this happiness with someone else, then really, really, this is the true meaning of mercy coming from the Lord. And why would you not want to share something that works for you unless we are selfish? So let us move away from that darkness and move on towards light. Let us just try this year to pray to Krishna and work hard. Won't be easy because most programs will be on weekdays. But in one way it's very simple. Each program needs to last how long? 15, 20 minutes? Half an hour? Yeah, you just put aside half an hour in the evening. Not very difficult. Now I'm just going to pass the mic to Gorsana Prabhu because he's directly involved there and they have done it by the thousands. So maybe he can inspire. I sure you inspire us before he takes his early morning ride back to KL. So Prabhuji, can you just let us know the wonderful way this program has impacted on the devotees?
Hare Krishna, actually I am very inspired by all of you because I know you do a very good job last year and we are very happy. In our Kuala Lumpur experience, of course for us it's a bit easier because schools are allowed. We are allowed to do in schools, so one time we get to do.
Sure.
Last year we did about 20 schools, Tamil schools.
Global Indian!
I think Singapore is a bit sticky on that, or maybe just in schools.
But maybe Global Indian.
And then also South Indian temples also we have. Quite a few South Indian temples, they also are very friendly and they are doing it regularly. But also, like next week, we'll have about 25 groups going all over Klang. Each group or 3 people, and we'll go house to house. Each one's supposed to do 20 in just 1 day. 20 times 25 groups. So 500 in a span of 2-3 hours in just one time.
Phenomenal.
So that's how we got the numbers, because what we do, we just go to one big area, everyone is given a street to go, we go door to door, knock knock. Of course you can't do it in Singapore. We don't do that. Send you chapati to rice and get you expatriated. So please don't do that. It's time, place, circumstances. In Malaysia we can do what we do is knock. Say this is a Damodara man, can we come to your altar and we show them and we tell them to light the lamp and offer. After they light the lamp, you can see the glow in their faces.
Yeah.
You know, it's really an impression, and when you see the glow in their faces, you yourself become very blissful. So that's the beauty of it. And one main point in my experience, personal experience, I tell them that whatever good things you do in this month is multiplied 100 times, but also whatever bad things you do also multiply 100 times. So please do maximum good and minimum bad this month. And so this is my experience. So for you all, even if the family says no, I cannot, it's finally too troublesome to invite some other people to come to the house, you can say, okay, all your family members be there, we'll do even 15 minutes program, half hour program. And if you really cannot sing, there's a CD, just put it on.
And CD again also. You get a CD like you did last year.
So it's a very convenient. Even one person can do programs. Because the CD is there, the blend you just have to bring, even for Shabbat, you just bring little some nuts, offer to Krishna, put in plastic and just.
See how nice. It's so simplified that really at this moment, if we really cannot do this, we are in trouble. Isn't it? So Prabhu Smartajis, are we going to try this year to work very hard to just try and be instruments in Lord Damodar's hands and in Srila Prabhupada's mission? Are you all inspired to do this? Otherwise no prasadam. This is the Singapore way to get you all inspired. Very bad. But yes, I think if we try hard, we can really make this event not only a success for everyone else, but for success within our hearts. Let's try this. Prabhu spoke about schools. You never know. Devotees who have them in schools, go and check with. Maybe one principal is favorable and thinks, why not? This is a cultural festival, right? Diwali is as much part of Indian culture as it is anywhere else. You just come. Let's do it. You never know. But you won't know until you try. Right? Of course, don't approach Ministry of Education. Who knows, really? But try the other schools. Sadhu Vaswani Center, Radhisha Mati has organized, you have 2 programs. Right? One will be a morning program on the 9th of October. Go Bhagavati Mataji, you will have to look out for that. Then in the evening, there will be a program at Sindhu House. Right? The Gita Ashram program. So we are entering Sindhu House to another door. Gita Ashram. So we are going to do that in the evening. Nam Sankirtan Prabhu. I think Sindhu House likes you. You have to be there to see Prabhu. So Prabhu will also be there. Then we have a few other places that we are trying to turn out. So it doesn't matter. Just make sure you start drawing up a list. Don't worry about intelligence, mind, body, everything else. The moment you try, Krishna, ye yata mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham, he will reciprocate. He will reciprocate. Right? So let's try this very hard. And what we will do is, our team of devotees, to make you get more inspired, as you are having prasadam, we will go and talk to you. We will confirm there and then the number of programs you are doing. So even if you had no thought of any programs, by the end of prasadam, we hope that you can confirm some programs. Right? And then we are going to pass this out. We are going to put this here. So devotees who are thinking of having programs, please come forward and take them. But remember, as you take them, we are going to record who's taking. So I need a devotee to record. So that we will really know you're not going to keep them in your house every morning to see them. And that you're actually going to go out and you're going to do the program. That's very important, right? So we should know that. And when the murtis come by midweek, by end of next week, we will then be able to give them out also to the devotees who are interested to get them. Okay? So you have all these tools. All you need now is your heart and determination. Can we have one very strong note? Three loud Hari Bols for the Damodar program. Hari Krishna! Hari Krishna! Hari Krishna! A challenge, because half our congregation gets wiped out during this period. You know, most of us will end up in Karthik somewhere else but not in Singapore. But it's a good challenge, because those who have to leave must finish quota before they go. Those who are staying must continue what the others have left. So that way we have to work very hard. So now we will close up the program. Mataji's and children can start having prasadam. Prabhus, you wait now. And all, can we have all this here? Vishwarupapu? Do we have them? Can we bring them here? Can we have someone to write down? Jai Shri Shri Rukmi Dwarkadish ki! Jai Shri Jagannath Bhagya Subhadra Mai ki! Vitae Govra Premanandi! Tomorrow's first Damodar program will be at the house of His Grace Rajesh Prabhu ki! Rajesh Prabhu is moving, so tomorrow we'll have the program. Please come and hear Bhagavatam by Pushpa Gopal Prabhu ki! After that, and we can witness Vaishnava Homam. And then we'll have Damodar. Know the light up, so don't miss it. Then in the evening, devotees, take note, Haribol, we will have a program at Rani Mataji's house. Where is Rani Mataji? Rani Mataji, you have to come a bit forward so that devotees know. There's going to be a program in Ishun for program. Sudarshan Prabhu will take that program. He will preach in Tamil, and then you have the mother light up. But language is irrelevant to us, you know. All we want is to be able to light up and offer our lamps to Krishna. So two programs tomorrow, and the clock will start ticking, and we hope to fill up. I can understand if the first week is a bit slow, but I'll become very worried when the second week comes and nothing is happening. So let's see how it goes, and let's inspire each other. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki! Jai! Dear Lordships, you know Prabhu? Can we write Prabhu?
Mahaprasadi Govindi. Punya macam mana kan? Bisa serai jaya ke? Celera biasa.
We have 100 of
these. Kita tidak. Kita tidak. Kita
tidak.
Kita tidak. Kita tidak. Kita tidak. Kita tidak. Kita tidak. Kita tidak. Kita tidak. Kita tidak. Kita tidak. Kita tidak. Kita tidak. Kita tidak. So we buy it in the
I give you a little bit.
ಹೇಳಿ.